Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Special Ed Strategist, where we dive into everything you need to know to help your kiddo thrive in school and beyond. I'm Wendy Taylor, your host, and today we are covering the question I get a lot. What happens to my kiddo's rights under ADA and Section 504 when they leave high school and start college? This topic is a game changer for so many families because it's about navigating this big transition between high school and higher education, where the rules shift and your kiddo steps into a new world of independence. So whether your kiddo is planning for college, already there, or simply curious about what's on the horizon, let's go ahead and unpack how to make this leap with confidence and clarity. We're going to start first with the basics. So when your child is in K-12 education, the landscapes of disability rights is built around IDEA, the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act, ADA, and Section 504. So you may be familiar with IDEA because it's the law that governs our IEPs or our individualized education programs, ensuring that kiddos receive specialized instructions when it supports tailored to their unique needs. But when it comes to ADA and Section 504, we're looking at anti-discrimination laws that serve a broader purpose. ADA, or the American with Disabilities Act, is a civil rights law that prevents discrimination based on disability. It ensures that people with disabilities have the same rights and opportunities as everyone else across schools, businesses, and public spaces. So Section 504 of the Rehabilitation Act is a bit more targeted. It's focused on programs that receive federal funding, which includes public schools, universities, and many community organizations. In a K-12 setting, these laws come together to ensure that your kiddo has reasonable accommodations to access learning. Think of this as tools or adjustments that are going to remove obstacles. Accommodations could mean anything from preferential seating to access assistive technology or extended time on test. The goal? To level the playing field and ensure that your child can learn, participate, and engage with the curriculum alongside their peers. Now, here's where the plot thickens, friends. When your kiddo moves from high school to college, the protections change. In high school, there's an entire team working on either IEPs or 504 plans, including parents, teachers, special education staff. There's monitoring, there's adjustments, there's guidance at every step. But in college, your kiddo becomes the lead advocate for their needs. So again, your kiddo becomes the lead advocate for their own needs. In college, IDEA no longer applies. ADA and Section 504 remain, but the way they operate is different. So instead of automatically receiving accommodations, students must disclose their disability and request accommodations themselves. This can be a real shift. Suddenly, our kiddos are the ones that are doing the reaching out to the disability service office or whatever it may be named for that specific college, providing documentation, and then they're even discussing their needs with their professors. You've got to think about this. Your kiddo is generally around 18. They're also legally, technically an adult. So now the onus becomes on them to speak up and advocate. Parents, we're not emailing the professors. It is the responsibility of our now college-age students to do so. So to help them succeed, let's talk through a few key differences. Self-advocacy becomes essential. So one of the biggest shifts in college is that students are expected to self-advocate. Colleges have resources and supports, but students need to be the ones who initiate and communicate their needs. So it's a major step towards independence, and it's a skill that can empower them well beyond college. So when we talk about kind of backing up a little bit, that parent input statement that you're supporting your kiddo with when they're in high school, teaching those self-advocacy, you're building on that capacity so that when they are in the college realm, they are then able to advocate for themselves, or if they are now independently living, they are able to advocate for themselves and their needs. The documentation requirements are also different. So colleges often require updated documentation to prove a disability and the need for accommodations. Now, colleges may differ in what that looks like, so you want to reach out and have a conversation with them to see specifically what they are requesting, or requiring. In high school, your child may have an IEP or a 504 plan with older documentation, but in college, they may need a more recent assessment. They may not. Each college has its own requirements. So again, check with the disability services ahead of time. In college, accommodations do look different. They're not about modifying the curriculum. They sometimes are in K through 12. So instead, they're about ensuring that equal access. So accommodations are really about access, not altering the academic standards. In high school, accommodations could sometimes adjust what was required for a student. So for example, modifying assignments or changing grading. In college, however, the standards stay the same and the focus is on access, not modification. So let's look at a couple examples. So in college, accommodations might include extended time for exams, note-taking assistance, access to a quiet space for tests, or permission to record lectures. But what you won't see are changes to the actual curriculum or reduced expectations in class. The aim is to support your child's learning experience without compromising the academic integrity of that coursework. And this leads us to the other critical point, which is communication. In college, it's up to students to communicate with each professor about their accommodations. While the Disability Services Office will help to set up those accommodations, it's the student's responsibility to follow through and ensure they're implemented effectively in each class. It's a shift from that hands-on support that they may have in high school, but with preparation and guidance, our friends, our students can certainly do this. Now, what changes for you as parents? We're going to talk about this topic that many parents are curious about, right? So the change in your role once your kiddo turns 18. I mentioned this a little bit earlier in this conversation, but under FERPA, F-E-R-P-A, which stands for Family Educational Rights and Privacy Act, a student's educational records belong to them once they're 18. So this means that as a parent, you're not automatically having access to information about their grades, classes, or even their accommodations unless your kiddo grants you permission. I know each family does it a little bit different, but this is really just the baseline of information. So for families, this shift can feel like a huge, huge adjustment. You've been involved in every aspect of your kiddo's education, and now you may feel like you're in the dark. But remember, this is that opportunity to support their growth. So encourage your kiddo to communicate openly with you about what they need and how things are going. These are conversations that you can have way in advance. If you are needing these conversations, if you know where your kiddo is headed, you know they're going to college, you know that they're about to turn 18, these are the conversations to start having of what it would look like in your family, whether your child is going to sign a legal document saying that yes, you have access to their education, medical records, that you can be a power of attorney in the event that something major happens. But they're all things to consider and all things to think about of what that's going to look like in your particular family. So if your child would like you to have access, they can sign a waiver, which is offered through the college to allow you to discuss certain aspects of their college experience with staff or professors. But remember, this isn't a necessity for them to succeed. It's more about giving them a safe space to navigate independence while knowing you're there if they need support. So how do we help our kiddos get ready for this shift in responsibility and independence? Self-advocacy is something I talk about a lot, and that's because it's essential for navigating not only college, but life in general, being independent, being a member of our community and society. Practice conversations. So let's think about some things that you guys could do, some practical tips. So if your kiddo is used to you handling all of their educational needs, and maybe a big change for them to speak up for themselves. I want you to start practicing now, even if they are in elementary school, encourage them to take the lead in conversations with teachers or coaches. Help them create that email. Help them practice what that conversation would look like. even simple things like asking for help or clarifying assignments so that they can start to build their confidence and capacity. Have your kiddo get to know their own accommodations, what works, what doesn't, and why. If they're used to having extended test time, encourage them to articulate how it helps them focus or reduce anxiety. The more they understand the why behind their accommodations, the better they'll be able to explain their needs to college staff. Documentation is key in college, so encourage your kiddo to get familiar with their particular paperwork. Teach them to keep copies of assessments, reports, letters from professionals, whether that's digital copies or physical copies. When they know what they have and what they might need in the future, they're going to start being more prepared to advocate for themselves. Let's go over a few specific accommodations that students commonly use in college so that you as a parent have a clearer picture of what's possible. Extended time and alternative testing locations. That's number one. So just like in high school, students can often request extended time or distraction-free environments for tests. This can be invaluable for our students with ADHD, anxiety, processing. Number two, let's talk about note-taking services and audio recording. So many disability services offices offer, that's a tongue twister, right? Note-taking services or permission to record lectures. This can be a huge help for students who have difficulty processing that information quickly and those that need to revisit materials multiple times. Assistive technology would be the third one I want to talk about. So colleges often have a range of assistive technologies like speech-to-text software, audiobooks, and screen readers. This can be life-changing for our students with visual impairments, dyslexia, and other disabilities. Fourth, and I've done a podcast on this with a guest, Annie Tolkien, talking about housing accommodations. Some colleges can offer specific housing accommodations if a student has a medical or mental health need. For example, students with anxiety may request a single room or a quieter dorm environment. Always reach out early. Housing accommodations can take some time to arrange. So remember this, though. Every college is different. Some schools have extensive disability services, while others may have fewer resources. So encourage your kiddo to start these conversations as soon as they accept their admissions, but also take it a step further. When applying to college, make these considerations of which colleges have the supports offered through the disability services that align with your kiddo's needs. As a parent, I know it can be really challenging to kind of step back after years of being so involved, but there are ways that you can stay supportive during this transition. Focus on empowerment. I want you to remind your kiddo that they have the right and that asking for what they need is not only okay, it's a strength. Encourage them to see self-advocacy as an empowerment skill, one that will serve them far beyond their college years. Be a sounding board, not a fixer. So sometimes all they need from us is to listen. Offer guidance without solving their problems. Ask questions like, hey, do you think you could approach it like this? Or what options do we have? This could help them actually think through challenges without feeling like they need to handle it all. And even sometimes what I do with my kids, I'll just say, do you want me to listen or do you need me to help? It's a great way to be that sounding board. And know when to step in, right? So they are still young. They're still babies. They'll always be my babies, at least my personal kiddos. So if your kiddo is struggling to access accommodations or if there's a serious roadblock, you can still be there as a partner. Reach out together, offer to sit in on a meeting if allowed, but let them try to take the lead as much and whenever as possible. And here's the beautiful part of all of that. These skills, these experiences, they're not just about college. Self-advocacy, understanding one's needs, communicating effectively. These are life skills that your kiddo is going to carry into the workplace, into relationships, and into their community. It's definitely a journey. It's not a sprint, a marathon. And sometimes it is a bumpy one, but every conversation, every experience that they navigate is part of building that toolkit they can carry forward. And for you, as parents that are listening, you're not just stepping back. You're going to help them step forward with confidence, self-knowledge, and knowing they can face challenges independently. Again, thank you for joining me on this journey today of the Special Education Strategist podcast, our solo episode. This transition to college can certainly feel overwhelming, but with the right preparation and mindset of empowerment, it's an opportunity for growth for both you and your kiddo. Remember that support is out there, from disability service offices to peer groups to online resources, and so many people want to see your kiddo succeed. As always, I'm here as a resource. If you have any questions, reach out. Remember, this is just one part of the journey. Keep advocating, keep empowering, and stay connected to the people and resources that lift you up. Until next time, this has been the Special Ed Strategist. I'm your host, Wendy Taylor. Take care and bye for now.